Like to start this morning and read two short verses in the sixth chapter of John, and we'll read verses 66 and 67. John 6, 66 and 67. It says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" I've written on the board a question. I've written on the board, why do people leave? Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm leaving. I'm going to be going. I'm gone. I'm leaving. I've heard people say that. You probably have too. Last Sunday, we spent some time on the subject of visiting or staying. You remember? Are you just visiting? Are you just visiting with Jesus? Or are you going to stay? And this morning, I'd like to turn our thoughts and consider something very different than certainly staying, and maybe has a little bit to do with visiting, and that is leaving. It's not a subject that I guess I've maybe heard just preached a whole lot about, but it's a reality that is around us all the time. People leave people. People leave communities. People leave jobs. People leave churches. People leave Jesus. And when and if anyone leaves Jesus, they are guaranteed to arrive on the doorstep of disappointment if you leave Jesus. God does not leave people. Thank the Lord. If separation happens between people and between Jesus, it is because people pick up and move their residence somewhere else. It's not the other way around. And I want to remain in residence with Jesus Christ, don't you? And I want to be on guard for those things that can come into my life perhaps subtly, and sometimes when I'm not aware of exactly what is going on, that can cause separation to the most important connection that I could ever have. And this is a really broad subject this morning, and it's a way bigger subject than what I would ever be able to I feel like, in of myself, do justice. And so this morning, maybe by the help of the Lord, if you could view this morning as seeds sown. Maybe an introduction. I don't know exactly how the Lord will lead Sundays to come, but for sure, seeds sown, and may the Lord help the seeds that are sown. I'd like to start with the question of this: why do people leave a place? Why do people leave communities? Why do people leave jobs? Why do people sometimes leave churches. And that could probably be a subject all on its own, but again, I'm going to move fairly quickly through some of this. Sometimes people leave places because of internal pressure. Sometimes people leave because where they are, they feel financial strain. They might feel emotional strain. They might be experiencing conflict. Sometimes people feel and experience discomfort from any variety of things from within. Within the place that they are. And so then because of that, they feel a pressure from within to move away from. And so people leave. Sometimes people leave because they feel a draw. Instead of a push, they experience a pull. Maybe they're ambivalent regarding where they are today, but over there there's a pull, there's a draw. It seems like there's something that captures their attention, and so they decide, I'm going to leave. And so they leave. Sometimes it's a combination of both. Sometimes people are feeling internal pressure where they are, and while they're feeling this push and this internal pressure with people, with communities, with their jobs, sometimes in churches, they feel stress from the inside, and at the same time there's a draw from the outside. Between the push and the pull, people say, I'm leaving. Sometimes people leave because of disappointment. They say, this isn't the place that I thought it was going to be. I feel unfulfilled. I came believing it was going to be one thing, but it's not. Sometimes people, this might be maybe a separate category, but related. Sometimes people feel isolation where they are. They can feel isolated in their communities. They can feel isolated in their jobs. They may be getting a paycheck, but they feel isolated. Sometimes people feel isolated within the congregation that they are. Lord, help us that no one that is among us in our within these four walls, within our church family, that they experience a feeling of isolation where they feel like they're all by themselves and there's no interest from anyone else to the point that they choose to leave. Sometimes people leave because of isolation. Other times, maybe it's none of these things, but there's something about the human heart, the human mind, our human makeup, that we can start to feel restless. And so maybe there's not necessarily a push or a pull, but we start feeling restlessness. And so we decide that we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to leave, somehow believing that wherever it is that we're going is going to satisfy some need that sometimes we're not even able to articulate or understand. Sometimes it's not real. And we think that over there it's going to satisfy it in a way that here doesn't satisfy it. We've all seen cows with their heads poked through the fence, eating grass when there's many, many acres of grass behind them. But somehow... Yes, people leave places oftentimes for good reason. I'm not saying that just because we leave. I've left places different times in my life. Maybe sometimes I should have, and maybe sometimes I shouldn't have. But we leave, and sometimes, and oftentimes, we leave for good reason. But as we move through this message this morning, I'd like to pause here and say that before you leave a community, before you leave a job, before you leave people, before you leave a congregation, before you make a life-changing decision like that, pray about it. And pray from the heart of, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, help me to know what thou wouldst have me to do. And I exhort, yea, caution us and me too with that, because sometimes we can have a false sense of security and say, well, I prayed about it. I'm going to leave, and I prayed about it, and so I'm going to leave. And yet, while we're praying about it, the engine of the car is running, and we've already packed and loaded the car to go, but we're praying about it. You follow? We've decided what we're going to do, but we feel better about it if we pray about it. But our heart really isn't, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Be willing to wait on the Lord when you make decisions like that, and be willing to remain and stay, even if it goes against your feelings, if the Spirit of the Lord comes and helps you understand that you need to stay. Sometimes he says it's time to go. Sometimes those are the hardest things to do, is to go. When he says go, Lord, help us have understanding from your Holy Spirit. What about marriage? Why do people leave marriage even after promising not to? Well, some of the same things apply. But sometimes people leave marriage because of unresolved hurt. Sometimes people leave marriage because of wounds that have never healed. And then those wounds that have never healed become exits. And those exits are widely used every day because of hurts and wounds that are not allowed or given space to heal with the help of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people leave marriages because of unmet expectations. Well, I thought marriage would be different. And because it's not like I thought it was going to be, a quick question, all of those that are here that have been married for more than 6 months or maybe a month, is marriage exactly like you thought it was going to be? I mean, exactly like you thought it was going to be before you ever got married? You don't have to answer that. I'll answer it. The answer is probably no. Marriage is this wonderful opportunity for learning a lot about yourself. Yeah, you learn about your spouse too. You learn a lot about your spouse. But sometimes people are willing to pick up and leave because of unmet expectations. Well, I just didn't think this was how it's going to be. And so since it's not that way, then I think I'm going to go. Other times people leave marriage because they get distracted by something or someone else. And they allow something or someone else to get in between something that had such potential for beauty, but they were distracted and they left. Sometimes people leave because of pride and selfishness. Why should I have to change? Why should I have to always be the one that changes? Especially when I'm right. Right? That's what we think. I'm right, and yet it looks like for this to work, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to compromise, and I don't want to have to change, especially when I think I'm right. And compromise, really, why should I compromise to something that includes something that's not right? And then sometimes we can become selfish with what life is about, and we lose sight that life is not all about me. And so people leave. And I think one primary reason why people also leave is because they lose sight of what they're pursuing. There's a loss of pursuit. Did you know that when love stops being active, and you start assuming that the love and the relationship is just going to be there because we got married, that's when stagnation can start to take place. And when that happens, you are at increased risk of leaving. Well, as you can see, all of these subjects are large, and we can't dig very deep into any of them this morning, but I don't think that any of these things that we've talked about so far, whether it's places or people or churches or jobs or marriages, which are people, that these things are not alien. They're not foreign to us. We, no doubt, many of us have experienced some bits and pieces of maybe all of this, but the answer is having that threefold cord with Jesus Christ in the middle and allowing the Lord space and room in our lives to work through these opportunities for growth, we say it that way, work through some of these temptations and conditions. Let's give the Lord space to work in our lives. Turn our eyes off of ourselves that we're so quickly to look inward when we make decisions like this because we don't like how something feels. And then we're quick to react without giving the Lord space. Why do people leave Jesus? Well, some of these things we've talked about are common themes and reasons why people leave Jesus too. Maybe I should pause first and ask, is it possible to leave Jesus? Is that even possible? Is that Bible, or is that just a human person saying, well, I think you can leave Jesus? We can leave Jesus. And a week or two ago, we went through rather quickly some verses that established that. And so since we already went through it, I'm going to take 30 seconds to just lay a scriptural foundation that is possible for us to leave Jesus. John 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Abide means stay. It means remain. It means planted. If you remain, if you stay planted, if you don't go somewhere else after having come, then my words will abide in you. So there's this opportunity for us not to abide. According to Jesus, John 15 and 10 says, if you keep my commandments, not if you kept them at one time, but it is if you keep my commandments and continue to live your life keeping my commandments, then are ye my disciples. But if you don't keep my commandments and you choose, not God, but you choose to go a different way, then you will separate yourself from me. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue, yes, at one time you are going in the way of the Lord and you were walking as a disciple, but you didn't continue in it. You chose to be drawn to something else, and then you left where you were before. The Hebrew writer warns of falling away. You were there, but then you fell away. Jesus speaks of branches that were connected, but then were cut off. Now, he didn't cut off branches that were alive. He cut off branches that were dead, where the life and the spirit had already left the vine. We chose to leave, and so there's this peace and this part where there's no life anymore, and then there's a separation that occurs because of that. These are Jesus's words. Paul talks about people who started but didn't finish. The scripture speaks of he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Not just started, not just made it most of the way, but endured to the end. And so there is a possibility that we can leave Jesus. We want to understand that and recognize that since that's possible, I want to recognize what it is that could cause that to happen, because I don't want it to happen. So how can it happen? One of the reasons why people leave Jesus is because of the perceived weight of the cross. Perceived weight of the cross. Notice that it's perceived. So many times in the Christian life, we start listening to the enemy and he tells us, oh, the cross that you're going to have to carry, you're not going to be able to do that. That is bigger than you are. You might as well leave and give it up. You're right. The cross, oftentimes things that we have to face in life, it is bigger than we are. However, the Lord does not allow the weight of the cross to become more than what we are able to bear. He will help us with that cross. And yet people lose sight of that, and they just look at what the life of a Christian that they think that it is going to be. And so they throw up their hands and they go. And we read here in the 6th chapter of John, from that time, many of his disciples, it said, went back and walked no more with him. Well, why? Why did they do that? Well, in the 60th verse, he told us why. It was because they said, this is hard. This is a hard saying. And they just looked at what seemed to be hard, and they didn't consider the one that would help them. And so they walked away. Jesus is not going to overload us. Another reason why people leave Jesus is also because of distraction. We can get so distracted if we're not careful. We've talked about that here at length. There's so many things in life that come to distract us and to capture our attention. And the scripture tells us in the 4th chapter of Mark, I think it's the 19th verse, where the cares of the world, it chokes out the word. It chokes out that relationship that could have been had, and yet we give ourselves to all of these other things that are around us, and we allow other things to push out the most important connection that we could ever have in life. Other times we are distracted and we are carried away with temptation and with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And James said in the 1st chapter of James in the 12th verse, said, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. These
when these temptations, these distractions come that would carry us away, we endure it. We access, we tap into a power that is greater than we are, and we do not allow those things to carry us away by the grace of God. For every man is tempted, verse 13, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation is not sin. The enemy likes to come, particularly to new converts. And when you are tempted with wrong, the enemy comes along and says, I guess you're not saved after all. Christians are not tempted with wrong. The scripture tells us temptation, that is not what is sin. Every man is tempted. It is what you then do with it. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, when there's those parts of our human nature that see something, that are tempted by something, and we are enticed. But sin has not yet happened. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When you pet it, when you give that temptation space, when you fertilize it, when you water it, when you continue to allow it space in your heart and your mind, and you let it conceive and bring forth something, as opposed to resisting temptation, as opposed to turning away from it, as opposed to not accepting it, but you allow this distraction that first started out as a temptation, and you allow it to conceive, then the scripture says it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, the scripture says, bringeth forth death. And then the scripture says, do not err, my beloved brethren. I don't want to err. Be on guard against distraction. Distraction can start out and it can feel and look harmless. And if we give it space, it can result in sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Another thing that can that people are separated from Jesus is because of disappointment. We come and we get saved and we have these ideas of what it's going to be, and then we say, well, it's not what I thought it was, just like in marriage sometimes. Well, it's not what I thought. I will say this morning, by the grace and the help of God, thank you, Jesus, for it not being just exactly like and being carried out and the journey look exactly like I thought it should be. Thank God. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. He sees things I don't see. He understands what I need when I don't understand it. And sometimes the very things that create disappointment in our lives are the very things that, if we will continue to abide, those are the very things that we need to keep us connected down the road. God has something for us in our disappointments. And yet, people become disappointed and make an emotional, they make a decision and they say, I'm leaving. Sometimes people leave because they too feel isolation. Not so much isolation from God, but sometimes they feel isolation from people. And sometimes when you look around and you don't see the multitudes around you living according to the word of the Lord and living in a way that is consistent with the way you're endeavoring to serve Jesus, and you start feeling alone and isolated, and I'm different from everybody else, and people don't understand me, and I don't fit in, and they feel this sense of isolation and lose sight of what matters most in life and what matters most in death. They give over to this feeling of isolation and they leave. Lord, help us to never lose sight that Jesus is with us always, and He is what matters more than anything else. Be willing to take the way less traveled. We're running out of time this morning, so one more. Perhaps one of the most dangerous things that can get us is this thing called drift. You know that a lot of times people, they don't leave Jesus in a moment. They don't say, well, I think I'm just going to go another way. I'm not going to live for the Lord anymore. But this can be a subtle thing that happens. I think about the five foolish virgins. They ran out of oil. They had oil, but they ran out. There was this drift. There was movement that was not taken care of, that was not addressed, that was not corrected. They were running out, but they weren't tapped into that which continues to fill. Perhaps because of distractions. I don't want to drift. People find themselves disconnected oftentimes because, just like in marriage, we can stop pursuing Jesus. We can start taking some things for granted. We stop abiding and we stop obeying and we stop listening, and all of a sudden the Lord might prompt us and He's trying to get us back in, but sometimes all of these things can begin to work on our lives and then we find ourselves alone and without Jesus. I don't want to be found alone and without Jesus. I don't want to drift. I want to pay attention to the Father in heaven more than anything else that I pay attention to. If you will allow me to continue to repeat this, make what matters most matter. Regardless of what is going on with you in life. I'm thankful today that we don't have to drift and be lost. We don't have to leave. We don't have to find ourselves alone. And I want to encourage you today again with this truth that Jesus Christ will never leave those that want to stay connected. He's not the one that leaves. God is faithful. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's scripture. God pursues. He calls us. He restores us. He reaches out to us. He invites us to Himself. He protects us. But He is not going to force His love. He is not going to force a relationship with you. That is something He gives us the choice about. That's our choice. I want to continue to remain connected to the one that has all power in heaven and in earth. I want to stay connected to the vine, not from fear, not from guilt, not from pressure, but because of a relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, because I have given Him my all. Lord, here I am. I want to serve You more than anything else. Lord, I'm going to trust You when I don't understand. I'm not leaving. By the grace of God, I'm going to purpose to abide. And if you find this morning and that you've drifted a bit, if you find that there's things in your life today that you're being distracted by, if you find that there are things in your life that you're disappointed by, Jesus is inviting you to come. He's inviting you to reconnect. He's inviting you to refocus. He's inviting you to lift up your eyes into the hills, which cometh our help. For our help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Let's purpose this morning not to leave. Let's purpose this morning not to just visit. Let's purpose this morning to remain connected all the way through, for He is faithful that promised. Amen.